Good morning, Andrew Webster. We're live from Cowra. How are you this morning, mate?
Good, boys. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Sean. I hope Cowra is treating you well.
It's treating us fantastic. Have you've been out here before, recently, or a little while ago?
Very long time ago. I can't even remember when, but it's strong, proud rugby league part of the world. So I hope everyone's going all right out there in Cowra.
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. All right, let's get into it. All right, Latrell Mitchell, signed, sealed, delivered, wearing a Rabbitohs jersey. You must have been happy from a work point of view that you're not riding the same yarns and the sort of same story snaking its way through. But were you surprised by what he said in that press conference? He wanted to get in love again with rugby league, and also the comments about how James and Cody's families are treated here at Souths. There were a few little pot shots at the Roosters, I thought.
Yeah, there was, for sure. I am, like everyone else, glad that the story has sort of come to a natural conclusion finally. I don't think I've covered a contract negotiation as convoluted or messy as this one, with some of the lies and the spin doctoring in the background, you know, all the way up until the press conference, really. Like, some of the claims that were made there were a little bit hard to believe. The claim that it wasn't done for money sort of clunks a little bit, because really this all came about because Latrell Mitchell didn't get $1 million a year off the Roosters. That's why he started to look around, and you know, that was the price the Roosters weren't prepared to play. I know Latrell, I think people have to remember, he's a 22-year-old kid, and you know, when you're, I was at that press conference on Monday, and it was pretty full on. It was, you know, there's a stack of media, which compared to most off-season press conferences was ridiculous. It was like the salary cap scandal of 2010. There were that many cameras and photographers. It was surrounded by all these people. And, you know, he had a big smile on his face. He acknowledged the Roosters and said, you know, what a great job they'd done with him. But believe me, they're watching on Fox Sports at home, a lot of those Roosters officials and coaches, and even some of the players, and talk about him, you know, not... you know, about South being the best fit for his family, given some of the things that the Roosters have done for Latrell and his family, didn't go down too well with some of the Roosters types. But I'm glad it's over, and to be perfectly honest, it adds a fascinating dimension to next season when he is lining up at number one for South, whether he's going to be able to play that position or not. I know he played a lot of it as a junior, but it's an entirely different proposition in the NRL. It's going to be a very, very interesting start to the season for Latrell and for South.
Round three, mate. Round three, they clash, the Roosters and South. What about the blokes that are affected by his arrival? Namely, Adam Dooley and Jai Arrow. Is he going to lob as well?
Adam Dooley has his nose firmly at a joint. You know, he was earmarked as a possible 5'8" when it looked like South... I didn't realise how close South were to not signing Cody Walker just a few months ago. And Adam Dooley was earmarked and told by the club, if Walker goes, then you'll be our 5'8". That didn't happen. He was then told, don't worry, you'll be the fullback. Now that's not going to happen. Unbelievably, though, Adam Dooley's contract is that heavily back-ended where he's on $500,000 this year. The Tigers would snap him up in an instant, but they're just not prepared to pay all of that $500,000, and South aren't prepared to kick in for him to play for another club. So how I'm already getting whispers about, you know, some players on that South roster not being happy about, you know, potentially having to move on to accommodate Latrell Mitchell. But to be perfectly honest, though, it's professional sport, and Wayne Bennett acknowledged it in the press conference. You know, that's how it goes. If you want to get a player like Latrell Mitchell to your club, then, you know, players are going to have to make way. That's just how it happens under a salary cap system. So, it all adds to an interesting dimension for the start of the season, because if it doesn't work early, we'll all be there criticising, and you guys will be talking about it, and all the listeners out there will be calling in and saying Wayne Bennett's a dud. But I can just see it. You can see it a mile off that, you know, it'll come good mid-season, and it's going to be an interesting end of the season. I'm doubtful about them getting Jai Arrow, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
I think the Titans are digging in, as you could expect. They want a couple of South players in return. It's not about whether South have the salary cap money for this year to get Jai Arrow. It's more about whether the Titans are going to get something in return. And honestly, who are they going to offer up there? Players like Gagai and that don't want to go to the Titans. So I think he's drifting in betting to get to Redfern a year early.
Webby, what can you tell us about the cap relief for Kieran Foran with the Dogs?
This is an interesting one, mate. It's they've been battling with head office for a while. The Bulldogs, they're trying to get some salary cap relief for Kieran Foran after he suffered that shoulder injury for New Zealand at the end of last year. So Kieran Foran's on about $1.1 million in the final year of his contract, which is just ridiculous. It just shows you why the Dogs are in so much cap trouble there a season or two ago. They brought in a new rule that means that any player that's seriously injured in a rep match can... the club can get $350,000 in cap relief. Now, the Dogs seem to think that's not enough. And it's going to come to a head when the Bulldogs meet with Todd Greenberg, who comes back from annual leave on Monday. I think it'll come to a head next week. I don't know. I think it's wrong to make comparisons between this and what's happened with Sam Burgess and Greg Inglis at South, because those players obviously retired.
Yep.
Also, I think the Bulldogs... we all knew, Kieran Foran has been injury-prone for many, many seasons. And when they bought him at that price, everyone could see the writing on the wall. Now, I know he's been injured the last couple of years, and I feel sorry for the Dogs who have had to dig themselves out of their own sort of cap problems. But, you know, I don't know why they should be getting a huge salary cap relief for a player that's, you know, at the back end of his career, whose body is breaking down, $350,000 to me, to be perfectly honest, and I know Dogs fans won't like this, sounds sort of right to me in many ways. So I also don't know if they're getting more salary cap space, and who are they going to get? There's not a hell of a lot of playmakers that are going to get in that role. I just hope Kieran Foran comes back sooner than later, because he's pretty integral to the Bulldogs' premiership hopes, or top eight hopes, I should say.
What's the figure? Do you know what the figure they are chasing?
They seem to think that they put forward a suggestion that he should get, you know, a percentage of every game that he's missed. So for someone like him, if he's out for 14 games, then they should get $616,000, 14 times $44,000. That's provided he's on a $1.1 million deal for this year. And I understand the merits of that again, but that's a big amount of cap space for a player who is getting on and who is injury prone and probably shouldn't have been signed for that amount of money in the first place. So, I think that would be unfair to other clubs if Canterbury got that amount of cap relief.
Okay, all right. Well, speaking of head office, Todd Greenberg in contract negotiations, he may extend.
He's been going on for some time. He hopes to get it sorted before Christmas. Peter Volandis, the ARL Commission Chairman, said at a Magic Millions function up on the Gold Coast last week that he would make a decision about his own future in a year, whether he decides between racing and rugby league. People have wondered how he's going to run two sports, and he might have to make a decision between the two in a year, according to the man himself. But when he gets back from holidays, TVL, one of the first orders of business will be to sort out Todd's contract. I think he's been wavering on it, Volandis. I think some members of the commission have been wavering on it as well. But as I understand it, he'll have Volandis' blessing, and he'll have the numbers on the board to be able to extend him for another 2 years. So, you know, I know Todd polarises people out there, but he's a good man. He's done a lot of good for rugby league that people don't really want to acknowledge. And I think it's a little bit of the devil you know. You know, I think he probably deserves to be extended for another year at least.
And Webby, finally, that yarn that you've knocked up this morning around Nick Youngquest in the SMH, that's incredible, that story.
Yeah, I know. He gives you an insight into what, you know, players go through and what, you know, what life like is for them afterwards. So everyone thought he's had, you know, Nick Youngquest went from, you know, being a first grade footballer playing in the NRL and then in the UK Super League And then he became a model straight away. You know, it's a decision that Dave, you and I have had to, you know, wrestle with.
Whether many
times. Whether we go with the Milan catwalk model, gibbering about sport and racing, it's, you know, it's a very, very tricky decision for all of us.
So, he was fending him off.
Exactly, exactly. So what people didn't know, though, was that he was having sort of those type of seizures similar to what Andrew Johns has talked about in the last year, where he has this really deep deja vu and he, you know, he's convulsing and can't really come out of it unless he, you know, ambulance arrives and helps him out of it. So he set up his own foundation to help and assist former players of all codes, of all genders, of all levels to support them through, you know, support them in their lives post career. So, you know, the game's come a long way in terms of concussion protocols, but for me, just him opening up about that and explaining about how tough it could be or how tough it has been. He didn't want to talk about it because he's a winger. He's never really openly talked about it because he thought, you know, I don't want to say I'm a winger, you know. I've got concussions. I was only a winger. People are going to laugh at me and think, you know, I didn't really get in the thick of it. But, he's had a nice story to tell in the Herald today. Make sure you all go out and buy it and support struggling journalists.
Good yarn as always.
What about the digital, Webby, mate? It's all digital now. Get your copy on your iPad, etc.
I just subscribed, Webby. I just subscribed this morning so I could read that yarn. So you've just got.
What do you mean, just this board. Morning, Sean? What do you mean, just this morning? No. I've been with.
Well, you know,
for years. Come on, I support you, brother.
Hey, just before you go, Webby, we usually, from our tipsters, get a bit of late mail from, say, Brad Davidson, Adam Pengilly. I want to know, just before you go, what's the best rumour you've heard in rugby league this week? The one where you're just going, surely not. What's the best one?
Good question.
Oh, the one about Fifita that he came out and denied.
So do you reckon that'll happen? He'll go to the coast?
No. Well, look, everyone involved has denied it. Look, the Herald, we were onto the story and checked it with everyone, but the denials were so strong that we didn't write a word about it. I know other publications did, and Andrew Fifita wasn't happy about it. But you know what? In the current climate of all the lying and fabricating and social media, you've just got to check it out and put a line through it. So I couldn't see why. The word was that Cronulla had cap problems, and that's why they wanted to let Fifita go. But as Johnny Morris has said, they're short on forwards. You know, they're short on quality forwards. So why would they let a player like Fifita go? And when he's going, the Sharks are going. So, that was probably one of the silly ones. As for the other rumours, I can't say, on a family program, like the big sports.
Mate, go and enjoy your Friday and your weekend ahead, and hopefully you're back some winners tomorrow.
I'll try. See you, boys.